And when you presented these data in 2005, I think one of your concluding comments or slides sort of said, this is a new standard of care for patients who would have been in the study. Still feel that way?
Yes, my specific quote was that this combination of paclitaxel, carboplatin, and bevacizumab in the non-squamous cell population included in ECOG 4599 was the new ECOG reference standard. And I do believe that. I certainly would acknowledge that there is toxicity associated with a regimen that appears greater than that with chemotherapy alone. But I think that the benefit that we're seeing with respect to all the outcomes, including survival, outweigh the risks and still put it in a positive light.
You know, the other thing is we've been focused a lot on the potential serious complications, but in terms of quality of life and how difficult this is for the typical patient in terms of fatigue and other side effects, I think it's probably worth noting. It seems like it's not increasing those general chemo side effects that dramatically. Is that your take clinically and from the data?
We did not specifically look at quality of life in this study, but it would appear that other nonspecific toxicities, such as fatigue and et cetera, were not increased. And my gestalt would be that quality of life is, in fact, improved. I think virtually every other study that's shown an improvement in survival outcome, when they've looked at quality of life, that's been better. But I do want to specifically state that we did not formally look at quality of life.
The trial stipulated that the bevacizumab would be continued alone after the chemotherapy till the patient progresses. I'm guessing you do that, and do you know whether people in general are doing that in practice?
Another good question. The easy answer for that is yes, that is exactly what I do. I follow the intent and guidelines with ECOG 4599. It has been raised by numerous physicians, the potential benefit of the maintenance portion of the bevacizumab. And I think it's an interesting question, but I think we have to go back 5 to 7 years when the concept of angiogenesis clinically in patients was initially addressed. Our original thoughts back at that time were the fact that angiogenesis inhibitors couldn't possibly work in the already established tumors because they wouldn't have any effect on those blood vessels. Their major effect should be on tumors that were not yet established and thus prevent blood vessel formation and maintain the tumor in a dormant state, if you will, chronic disease. Well, as often happens in oncology, what you see in the laboratory doesn't always correlate to what you see in the clinic. And what we saw was, in fact, increased response rates when adding bevacizumab to chemotherapy across multiple tumor types, including breast and colon. Some great work that's been done in the laboratory, again, has gone back and attempted to determine why that is, and work by Rakesh Jain and Dr. Ouellette, initially at Harvard, who's now at Duke, would suggest that there is effect on established tumors, the so-called pruning of the abnormal vessels, which reduces interstitial fluid pressures in those tumors and may well allow for increased chemotherapy delivery. So I think we've now centered upon that and have forgotten the other aspect of anti-angiogenic therapy. And so I believe that there's a two-prong effect. I think you're seeing an effect in the primary tumor, and I think there's also that potential in the tumors that are not yet established, the micrometastatic disease. And so in my mind, I think both aspects are important and therefore justifies the maintenance. And having said that, the fact is you also have a phase 3 study that's a positive study that included concurrent and maintenance therapy with bevacizumab. And so until there's a study that compares with and without maintenance, I think that should be used.
Do you have any patients either on or off study that are out, you know, a year and a half, 2 years still on bevacizumab?
I no longer have any patients actively being treated on ECOG 4599. I did have a couple of patients who had gone. I had one patient in particular who went, I believe, somewhere between 1.5 to 1.75 years and was maintained on the bevacizumab. Some other patients who had gone not quite that far.
Again, there's the data and then there's clinical practice. And one of the most common questions oncologists bring up to me is the issue of brain mets. So first, what about resected brain mets? Could they be on the study, and would you treat a patient who had a resected brain met?
Great question. I think ultimately patients with either resected brain metastasis or previously treated brain metastasis will be safe to be given bevacizumab.
Previously treated, mean radiation
therapy? Radiation, I think ultimately. But at this time, I do not treat those patients with bevacizumab for the very simple reason that I believe there's more lawyers than physicians in the U.S. And if something bad were to happen, I think we would not have a lot of data to stand on. Having said that, there are ongoing studies that are looking at these patients that are including these patient subsets, patients with previously resected, patients with brain metastasis, patients with brain metastasis that have been treated with radiation and are now receiving bevacizumab. And I'm sure in the very near future, we'll have enough data to tell us that we can, in fact, do that.